Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Matt Barnes going to join us here in a second. Don't forget, streaming September 4th, Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock their premiere access. You see him on The Jump. He's got his own podcast, All the Smoke. He is everywhere. UCLA's own, played for the Clippers, Lakers, and won a championship with the Golden State Warriors. Friend of the program, Matt Barnes, joins us here now. Matt, obviously so much stuff has been going on, and you've been on The Jump the last couple of days talking about all this stuff, so we appreciate you taking the time. The owners' meeting today, there were plenty of players in there kind of discussing things with them, telling them what kind of actions they'd like to see. If you had a chance to be in that room in front of those owners and that group of men and women, whether it was on a Zoom call or whatever it was, what would you want specifically to say to them?
To make more of a stance, to stand by us. You know, there's a lot of owners in this league that stand directly across from us when it comes to rights and policy and politics. And, you know, forever it's been okay, you know, but I think now more than ever, they need to, you know, somehow try to meet in the middle and understand our struggle, our message, who we're talking about, who we're standing up for, because we were very fortunate to make it out. Because these people that are being gunned down, you know, in the streets, have easily been, you know, a player.
Matt, as someone who played for a team that was owned by perhaps the most racist owner in the NBA, to go into a team that a lot of people feel might be the wokest in the NBA, being the Golden State Warriors. Can you talk a little bit about the transformation internally in the league in terms of just awareness and willingness to use your platform to address these societal ills?
It was night and day. You know, Sterling had a long history of being Sterling. You know what I mean? Everyone heard about it. I've been around L.A. since 98 in college, and you kind of understand the discrimination and everything, you know, he had been through and caused, and then, you know, dumb enough to get caught, you know, by a mistress speaking out of pocket, and he paid for that, you know, to be able to go to the Warriors where this team is, you know, where the Warriors are, the owners are side by side with the players and do all they can for the players. And, you know, it's really a big difference and guys appreciate it. You know, when we were playing for the Clippers, the last thing on our mind was winning for Donald. You know, when you get a chance to play for the Lakers, you know, winning for the Lakin group and the other owners definitely crosses your mind. So, like I said, night and day, and as players, we recognize it. And I think, you know, obviously I'm out of the league now, but moving forward now, I think guys are really going to start aligning with, you know, taking the owners' beliefs, considerations, and past into whether they want to go play for their team anymore.
You know, Matt, it's interesting because you guys had a conversation about some of this on The Jump today. It was you and Stephen A. and Rachel and Richard, Richard Jefferson, that is, about the potential sale of some of these franchises. For example, the Minnesota Timberwolves was what you guys, the example that was used on the show today. And should the NBA block the sale of its teams to those who support causes that endanger players' health and safety? Some people feel that that could be a slippery slope. How do you feel about that?
I think before, Joe, that would have been a slippery slope right up until 2020. I mean, I think 2020 has been an awakening of the world, which has been a tough one but needed. And I think now it's a privately owned group. I mean, it's a close-knit group, and I think from here on out, I think they need to start aligning more parallel with who their, you know, their, I guess, workers, players, however you want to say, organization. I think it started, like I said, I think now it is a little bit different than it's ever been, and it should be definitely something considered. You know, I mean, why would you want to have someone who is completely opposite of its players? I mean, there's going to be no chemistry. There's going to be no connection. You can't hide from it anymore. You know, I mean, you take out the look at the Dallas Cowboys where, you know, Jerry Jones is one of the most outspoken owners in sports and has been quiet as a church mouse, you know, over this whole situation in 2020. So, I mean, guys see that. Guys see it, hear it. And like I said, I think it's really going to start affecting, you know, where guys decide to go play.
Matt, with that being said, what impact do you think this change in 2020 has had on ratings for the NBA. A lot has been said that perhaps it's because of the boldness of the players and of the league and the political arena that has hampered the ratings.
It's a rough time right now. You know, there's kind of a divide in the air, and if us speaking our minds finally have taken some viewership away, we understand that, and that's a part of the game, and it's something we're willing to sacrifice. But we have no doubts that when, you know, our plan is clear and we continue to move forward and we start seeing some change, that we'll start getting viewership back. If someone doesn't want to see us do more than just dribble, well, they're not necessarily a fan anyway. You know, so like I said, this is it's bigger than basketball now. Definitely in 2020, we have guys that are really out here trying to make social changes throughout the league, whether you're current players or former players. And you know, we're tired of just tap dancing and falling in line. You know, those days are over. So it's always been bigger than basketball. Now more than ever, it's bigger than basketball. And we're going to continue to fight the good fight.
Matt Barnes joining us here, NBA champion, of course. And congratulations, by the way. I saw you get the ring the other day on TV, which is pretty awesome. I know that Raymond Ritter got you that ring, and they sent it to the studio. So, but real quick, just to before I ask you a question, I'm glad you brought up the ratings, LZ, and you know, we can all discuss it. I actually just read a story recently this past weekend about ratings, and everyone assumed during the pandemic that it would be a television boon. And it actually hasn't been the case for the coveted 18 to 49 demo, which is the prime target of NBA fans, because it is the youngest of the four major sports as far as their fans are concerned. That group, 18 to 49, year over year, and the pandemic has a lot to do with this, is down 36% overall, and the NBA ratings are down 40%. Now, a lot of that also has to do with day games, right? People are still working. People, if they're working from home, are paying attention to other things. They're not focusing on day games. So I do feel like the ratings conversation is even a little overstated. But to switch gears real quick on you, Matt, are you happy with the resolution to continue playing the rest of this bubble in this season?
I am. I think the guys are making the right decision. I think they understand how much stronger their voice is from that bubble and how much stronger their voice is together. You know, I think I've been saying the last few days, you know, without this bubble, we still would have heard from the stars of our league because they have such a tremendous platform. But we have heard, you know, Doc's emotional plea. We have heard George Hill. We've heard Van Fleet. We have heard kind of the under the superstars. And I don't know. And even if we did hear from the superstars, if they weren't in the bubble, would their message travel around the world? You know what I mean? We have every camera from everywhere, you know, on every interview we have post game, halftime, social media, their messages is going far and wide. So I think they've made the right decision, and it's not so much to get back to basketball. Obviously, I would like to see them get back to basketball because I thought they were playing great basketball. But I think also for that reason, they realize that their voices are stronger together. They want to continue to push forward and continue on the momentum they've had on speaking on things and up the game. You know, the players have done a lot, I'm sure, you know, in these last 24, 48 hours, they've thought of more they can do. And obviously today's meeting was to kind of see where the owners, if they're going to come to, you know, come stand in line and see where the owners stand. So I think they've been doing a great job. I thought they created a great environment for everyone to go play. And like I said, the play has been continued. The level of play has been great. But like I said, the messages have still been amplified, which was always, you know, a concern of some people. So to answer your question, I think they made the right decision, and they need to continue to move forward and continue to press the line and continue to press the message.
Matt, now that the players have agreed to continue with the postseason, and that we're dismissive now of any claims that the Portland Trailblazers are going to beat the Lakers, who do you think is in the driver's seat in the Western and Eastern Conference in actually, you know, getting to the finals now?
I've chosen, you know, I always said from the beginning that I thought the ring was coming back to L.A. I just wasn't sure. I mean, I think it's a coin flip on which L.A. team brings it. So I think, you know, obviously – you never want to see guys get hurt. You know, Dame kind of packed it in, obviously with good reason to get surgery on his knee. But the Trailblazers definitely made a statement in this bubble. But I didn't see them beating the Lakers anyway. Dallas has put up a hell of a fight. I didn't see them beating the Clippers. So I see those teams going to the Western Finals. The Eastern is a little more up in the air to me. I don't think Milwaukee's really hit its stride yet, so to speak. They have a hungry Miami team waiting on them in the second round. But I honestly think the representative of the East is going to come out of the winner of this next round between Toronto and Boston.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, you know, everyone seems to be down on Milwaukee, and it's it feels like I'm with you in that sense because, Matt, like, have you seen a team, and you've played on a bunch, you've played for a number of coaches. Like, when I watch them, I mean, Giannis is unbelievable from an athleticism standpoint, but clearly he has holes in his game. And it feels like I don't know if I can trust the next two best guys, whether that's Middleton and Bledsoe. And then not to mention their coach doesn't like to make adjustments. Like, he just believes in what he believes in. Right. Like, that just doesn't seem like a recipe for success.
Yeah. I mean, in-game adjustments are, you know, a part of the game and needed. And like you said, we're going to get those numbers from Giannis. You know, although it's crazy to think, you know, MVP or the defensive player of the year can get better. There are definitely some holes in this game, and that's no disrespect to him. I think he knows that he's working on those, you know, those holes diligently. But like you said, I think the key is, you know, you're going to get about 30 and 15, 16 from Giannis. Are you going to consistently get play out of Bledsoe? Are you going to consistently get play out of Middleton? Is Brook Lopez going to hit big shots and take care of the paint? There's so many unknowns with that team. When they do it, they're obviously one of the best teams in the league, but they haven't consistently been able to do it. I think I said, they're running into some dogs next round in Miami. Jimmy has those guys hungry, playing hard. He's got those rookies playing like vets. And they're just a recipe that I don't think the Nets want to see. Their style of play, how many wing defenders they have. They know what Giannis is going to do, but I think their goal is going to be to shut everyone else down. So it's going to be an interesting series, a fun series nevertheless. I think the playoffs have been great. They brought some sort of normalcy to what's been a terrible year. And like I said, I'm excited that they're back.
How are the Twins?
Twins are great. We actually took our first trip, since COVID. Jermaine O'Neal had a tournament in Dallas about 2 weeks ago, and we took our kids to Dallas for the first time and had a great showing out there. So they're managing. Start school next week, so it's just, you know, on top of everything that's going on, obviously Dad is – play a center role in my life, so between coaching and keeping them entertained and homeschooling, keeping them focused with homeschool, that's a job in itself.
I know I mentioned the ring earlier, but how nice is it in person? Because on TV it looked pretty badass.
It's cool. You know, it's very cool. I think I'm glad I kind of got to tell the story how it went down. I didn't say I didn't want it. I just felt like I didn't deserve it. And then when I got it, it got locked in a room and I couldn't get it. So, you know, glad to finally have it. And like I said, I think the best part was the Twins were 8 turning 9 at the time and got to enjoy the ride with me and got their own ring. So, you know, that's something we can share as father, son, you know, for the rest of our lives.
That's awesome stuff, man. Matt Barnes, UCLA's own, of course, champion with the Warriors, played for the Lakers and Clippers as well, friend of the program. Hey, man, thanks for always making time for us, man. Really appreciate it. Stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you, guys. Good luck with everything. We'll talk soon.
All right, man.
Thanks, Matt.
Be good. There he is. There's Matt Barnes with us here. All right, LZ, you and I, coming up on the other side, are going to talk about the potential of when the Lakers and Clippers will be back in action. We'll do that in about 90 seconds.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tadano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Matt Barnes for joining us there. And again, don't forget, streaming September 4th, Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan, LZ, as she fights to defend her family and, of course, the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock their premiere access. So I know you're very excited.
I love that Christina Aguilera song. I hope it's in there.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out together on September 4th, right?
Or we could just Google it and find out right now.
I mean, why do you want to do that to yourself?
Because I need answers, man. That's what I do. I get answers. Christina Aguilera Mulan. All right, okay. Let's see what it says.
Let's see. Tell me.
Let's see if it's going to be part of it. If it's not, I might boycott. Nope. She returns to Mulan.
Boom!
With a new song entitled Loyal, Brave, True.
Yep. That's awesome. All right. So everyone wants to know, all right, what's happening with the games? Like, when do we have games? Like, are the Lakers going to play again? When are they going to play? Well, Tanya Ganguly, your colleague at the LA Times, who we just had on a little while ago, or yesterday, actually, she had tweeted out she expected the Lakers to play on Saturday. I have texted someone at the league, and I said, what's up with the games? And they specifically said to me, Saturday for sure. Now, I don't know if that means there will still be games tomorrow. My guess is no, because I didn't follow up with that. I don't want to be – I know they're, like, in a bunker right now trying to figure all this stuff out, which is hard in Florida because, you know, LZ, the sea level stuff is not very, very – you know, it's not very high above sea level there. So to build an actual bunker is not easy. You're going to hit swampland very quickly in Orlando.
The state is sinking, and yeah. They're in denial.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Why? Another reason why I moved here. It seems like Saturday is going to be the day for the Blazers and Lakers. And if I had to guess, it will also be the 5:30 game, is what I would guess.
Yeah. You want to get this over soon? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, no, 5:30 will be the primetime game, will be the last game of the day.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't.
Why?
This is borderline Toronto, you know, Nets category. Like a beaten down Portland Trailblazer squad without their leading scorer. I mean, how competitive you think this is going to be? How entertaining you think that's going to be?
I mean, it's just one game. You know what I mean? You never know. One game. It could get close. All of a sudden, your boy CJ McCollum, you were touting him. You were saying he was going to be the man in this series. No.
I was saying he was going to be a very capable Robin. No one ever puts up the bat signal and there's a big R in the sky. It's always Batman, and he brings Robin.
Well, wait a second. In the Dark Knight Rises, yes. There was a Robin. Like, I felt like Robin was going to take over, and then Christopher Nolan's like, I'm done making movies.
Well, yes, this is true. There was a Robin at the end right before the credits rolled, which is my point.
Yeah.
He wasn't the main character, all right? So don't be trying to make CJ something I didn't say he was. I said he was a very capable Robin. And I'm sure Robin is going to do the best he can with the Justice League. But you know good and well, everyone's going to be whispering, hey, man, where's Batman at? Where's Batman?
Yeah. Well, Greg, I could be wrong. LZ could be 1,000,000% right here. I don't know if I recall Robin being uttered when we were talking about CJ McCollum. Now, maybe it was, and maybe I just missed it. But do you remember that?
No, I don't think
you're going to say maybe. Who the hell is picking McCollum over Dame being Batman and Robin?
No, I don't know. I'm trying to think if you actually said that he was Robin, because I tend
Robin is aggressive. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a negative thing.
In fact, I can tell you exactly what I said about CJ. Okay. I said that he was going to ball, and that he is. It's called the podcast.
You did say he was going to ball. I do remember that part. Yes.
I said he was going to ball, and I also said that he is probably the best player never to make an all-star team that's in the league right now.
I believe you may have said that as well. Now, Laura, you're the woman on here. You are the practical thinker. Do you recall a Robin reference?
I don't.
I don't recall.
But if you tell me what day it was, I will go back and find receipts. But I don't recall that.
Well, put it this way. Either I characterize him as a Robin, or I ignored all of Dame's outlandish play, not just this season, but practically every season he's been in the league, and decided, no. This team is about CJ.
Right.
Now,
No, you didn't say that. You definitely didn't.
Exactly. So if he's not Batman, then I didn't make him Aquaman. I didn't say he was Hawkman. So what other position is there?
I mean, I don't know. You know,
Laura's Wonder Woman. So I mean, there was we got.
There was Batman versus Superman. You know, the Ben Affleck.
Let's not relive that. Let's let that stay dead.
Greg, you didn't agree, huh? You were over here breathing when he said.
I heard
Wonder
you
Woman.
Breathe. Yeah, Greg, why you breathe so heavy, man?
I wasn't breathing. I was on mute. That wasn't me.
No, oh, that was God, not that was on you. Mute. It was very much out for everyone to hear. Yes.
I'm looking at this right now.
Yeah, and we could hear you. So
we heard you.
Back to LZ's Robin.
LZ, did you hear him breathing as well?
Of course I heard it. The entire world heard him breathing. I'm not quite sure why he's trying to deny it. You know, Nikki Haley over here trying to deny the existence of something?
Yeah, seriously. I mean,
LZ. Had to turn it on me somehow. You've had to find some way to turn it. There, thank you.
So anyway, it does seem like Saturday. But you don't think, LZ, that you know the Blazers could have put up at least a fight? Like, here's the thing. The Lakers are always going to be the primetime game because they've got the collaboration of it's the Lakers and LeBron. So you're going to put those two. That in itself will draw 3 million people on ABC on Saturday.
I just don't want to see bad games, man. You know?
You don't think one game, all of a sudden CJ can go for 40, 50, something crazy? You know what I mean?
You know what? You're right. Something crazy could happen. But why take a chance on could when there might be other options of you know?
Well, what are the other options if you're ABC? Let's think.
If I'm ABC, right. And I suspect that the Lakers-Portland Trailblazers series is going to be a blowout.
Right.
Then I'm probably looking at, okay.
OKC, well, Houston, because that's the three games you would have to choose from are Orlando, mm-hmm. Milwaukee, OKC, Houston, or Portland Lakers.
I would go OKC, Houston.
In the primetime game?
A 2-2 series?
Nah.
Where everyone knows game five is critical?
Absolutely. But you could put them on. You could put them on before. You could put them on at what's 2.5 hours? At 6 o'clock Eastern. You know what I'm saying? And you could put them on ABC back to back, and you're still bleeding into that, you know, that evening time with them. It's a good lead in for the Lakers and Blazers.
You really think this Lakers and Blazers squad is going, this team, this matchup is going to end with anything other than at least a 15 point victory for the Lakers?
Let's see what Vegas thinks. I will tell you right now what Vegas has the Lakers at right now. Since you brought up the line, I am curious to see what it would be.
I didn't realize I was bringing up the line. I'm just talking, you know. Yeah,
I know. I mean, but you did. So it's good.
I'm all gambly.
You are gambling. Realizing. Okay, the Lakers. There is no line at the moment, but the last line was. Whoops, sorry, just went past it. It was Lakers 12.5 point favorites.
Look at me. I'm Vegas, baby.
They opened up a 12.5 point favorite. But, you know, as long as listen, in today's NBA, LZ, and we got a break here in a second, but we do have some interesting Doc Rivers news that I want to pass along to people. We'll have that for you.
Is he not really a doc?
Perhaps. You have to wait to the other side to find out. But, you know, in today's NBA, 10 points is not what it used to be with the three ball, with everybody shooting 40, 50 threes a game. You can get 10. You know, back in the day when you and I were younger and Reggie Miller scored, you know, whatever it was, 9 points in whatever, 10 seconds or 18 seconds or 30 seconds or whatever the hell it was, that didn't happen all that often. But now that, you know, Tracy McGrady scoring all those points in, you know, 45 seconds or whatever, that didn't happen all that often. Now that stuff happens all the time.
I mean, it happens often. I'm just trying to gamble on the likelihood. And it feels to me that there's a likelihood that the series that's tied 2-2 might have a more compelling end, a more compelling fourth quarter than the team that, you know, is already been beaten down with their best player, and now their best player is gone.
Right.
Right. That's all I'm saying. Like, if I'm programming,
it's still the Lakers, dog. You got to put the Lakers in prime time in LeBron. You ain't putting LeBron earlier. That ain't happening, right, Karen K?
Agreed. You hear me? I'm like,
Yeah, Karen's a Laker fan.
Not me breathing. You got that was you got not me breathing.
You got that? No, you're not a breather like Greg. Greg is a heavy breather.
I hold my breath. Yes, I know, Greg.
But you're a big Laker fan. You got to put LeBron and the Lakers in prime time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Now,
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Happy to be here with you. Scott Kaplan's coming up at 7 o'clock.
George, and, quiet.
Sorry.
This is Christina's Mulan song.
I know.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready, okay. Baby.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm ready.
There Woo! You go. And don't forget.
Move to the lawn, baby.
Streaming September 4th, Disney's new movie Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock their premiere access.
Do we like this song better than we like the original Mulan song?
It's a good question. No?
Wow.
Laura was a quick no.
It was a very quick no.
I love the original. I cried. I sang. I was little and I thought, you know, I just pictured myself in that little, it wasn't a room, but where she sang it and she looked at herself. I don't know. There's something about that.
Well, if we're asking about how we feel about things, how do we feel about the new McDonald's spicy chicken nuggets?
What is that? I'm not familiar.
It is a new phenomenon. McDonald's will be unveiling spicy chicken nuggets, which, by the way, I do have a bone to pick with McDonald's, who are our friends a little bit. And I get, you know, the kids like McDonald's. We treat them to McDonald's occasionally. And so my wife says to me, hey, I'm going to get some McDonald's for the kids. Would you like some? I said, you know what? I'm going to go a little some chicken nuggets, right? Been a while since I had some chicken nuggets. And what I've noticed is the chicken nuggets, they got a little thinner. You know what I'm saying? Like there's like all of a sudden, they used to be like thicker, you know, more plump, let's call them. And I was like, did I just get a bad, like a thin batch, like a skinny batch? Did I get some skinny chicken? You know what I mean? Like so, but then I saw the picture of the spicy chicken nuggets and it feels like that's the direction they've gone. Help McDonald's. If you can throw back a little plump, you know, some plumpiness in there, I'd appreciate it.
So the spicy chicken nuggets have more meat to the non-bone than the regular chicken nuggets?
No, they are the same. I was just stating that because I recently just, tasted some nuggets, which I hadn't in a long time.
Is there a chicken shortage?
I don't think so. I know we had a potato, excess potatoes with the pandemic. Potatoes
excess
is a problem.
Potatoes?
Yeah, excess potatoes.
Like we have too many potatoes in the world?
Correct, because restaurants are closed. We have an excess of potatoes.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to do something to help alleviate that pressure.
I mean, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
You do want to keep that 8-pack you got rolling right now. That also could be a challenge for that with the extra potatoes.
I haven't had an 8-pack since the 90s. I appreciate it, but I haven't had an 8-pack in a long time.
Okay.
Let's not talk about weight, guys, because that's a sensitive subject.
No. I didn't say I had a keg. I just said I didn't have an 8-pack anymore.
Yeah. Spicy chicken nuggets for McDonald's. Let me see. September 16th, spicy chicken nuggets will be available at McDonald's locations nationwide for a limited time, LZ.
Wait, is there a pink slime shortage, too?
I don't know. Greg said that. Yeah.
That was in the text because it was supposed to only be in the text.
I don't know. I mean, you know.
No, I didn't know. I thought that was information.
I'm with LZ. The text conversation is for the family, and I believe the audience is part of the family.
We got all those baseball stats. We got stats on Kershaw and Mookie Betts and stuff. And then you throw in a pink slime shirt.
Let's joke. Let's actually just dump as far as we can back for that, please.
Don't get all upset at me because you're sliding in false information.
Yeah, exactly.
just move past.
So there's not a pink slime shortage?
Don't bring it up again. What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm asking. I want to know now.
It's fair game, Greg. You
text
that. I have
no idea. We'll talk about it in the break. There's no such thing as pink slime, right? Let's just get it.
Okay.
We love our friends at McDonald's.
We love our friends at McDonald's. I didn't say that. I just told people that you can get spicy chicken nuggets on September 16th. All I said was, hey, can you throw a little more meat in there? It's not a lot to ask.
Well, there's all these stories on this, Greg. Did you know that?
On the slime or the chicken nuggets?
the pink slime shortage. I just Googled it, and there's like a lot of stories on this.
Ooh, wait a second. What is this Chips Ahoy thing they have at McDonald's? That looks like some sort of like, I don't know, like ice cream kind of cake looking thing. What is this thing? This looks fantastic. We need to get some of that.
Do I need to get to McDonald's? There's all kinds of stuff happening there. That I don't even
know here it is. Chips Ahoy McFlurry. It looks really good. I'm looking at their menu here all of a sudden. What? No, that looks good. I'm in on that. I love McFlurries.
Love?
Love McFlurries.
Like, do you love it enough to make a left-hand turn in L.A. at 5:30 in the afternoon?
Nah, there's very few things I love at 5:30 in the afternoon to make a left-hand turn in L.A. No.
Now, do you go with the mini M&Ms or do you go with the Oreo? That's the real
question. No, Oreo.
Always Oreo. Oreo. It's the right call.
Oreo is the best call. Yeah, there's no question.
I thought so. That's why I married a white guy.
Yeah. Oreo's the best cookie, no? I mean, no disrespect to Chips Ahoy, but.
Oreo's the best cookie. Wow. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, you know what?
Save the take. We'll do it in what you need to know. We'll do that because Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Dodgers and everything that's transpired here over the last, 24 hours with them as well, and Mookie Betts and their shared position of sitting the game out yesterday with all that's transpiring. So we'll talk to LA Times columnist Dylan Hernandez here in just a second, and we will hold your cookie takes for a moment, and then we will get the audience's cookie takes after Dylan. So we're going to explore the space here for a little bit. I didn't get to the Doc Rivers thing. I promise I'll get to that after Dylan at 6:15. My apologies to that. Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. As we mentioned, coming September 16th, the spicy chicken McNuggets with mighty hot sauce. And they say you should throw it down with a Chips Ahoy McFlurry, which got us into cookie talk. Is Oreo, because Greg asked me what my go-to McFlurry was, even though I will try the Chips Ahoy one. My go-to McFlurry is obviously Oreo. But will you go, like if you had to go to the grocery store, Vons, Albertsons, Pavilions, Ralph's, whatever your grocery store is. What's the Mexican one? Vallarta, right? Vallarta. If you had to go to your local grocery store, and you had to buy a packaged cookie at the grocery store, what is the cookie that you're getting, LZ Granderson?
Double chocolate chip.
Double chocolate chip what? What is the brand?
I don't care. As long as it's chocolate chip, I don't care. They could be the soft ones. They could be the one that crumbles. They could be no brand, off brand, the store brand. They could be, Chips Ahoy. I really don't care. I love chocolate chip cookies. And then my second choice is actually pecan sandies.
Oh, really? See, because I'm going to go double stuffed Oreo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they got all the fancy flavors, double stuffed Oreo. But I'm going just the original, okay? Double stuffed mm-hmm. Oreo. And then my number two, dark chocolate, double dark chocolate Milano Pepperidge Farm. How about that?
That's very specific.
That thing is delicious. Have you had that?
No, I haven't.
Have you been doing all your life?
Eating chocolate chip cookies and pecan sandies.
Yeah. Greg Bergman, have you tried the Pepperidge Farm double dark chocolate Milano cookies?
I haven't had the double dark chocolate, but Milano are really the mint chocolate Milanos.
Oh, mint chocolate.
Too.
Mint is chocolate. No, is gross.
No, just the ones from the Milanos are really good. But my favorite
there's no such thing that is mint chocolate that is worth eating, in my opinion. Even Milanos is as tasty as they are.
You're an insane person. But it's the famous Amos cookies. If you give me a little a package of those teeny little
those are pretty good
famous
too.
Amos cookies,
the chocolate chip
so
famous
good.
Amos,
yeah, they are very chocolate good. Chip yeah. famous Amos are delicious.
Those are your go to.
Sharif Wade. Yeah. Tweeted at us, said famous Amos cookies and mother's cookies. I'm assuming he means his mother's.
And no. Mother's cookies are those. No. Mother's cookies are those pink and white ones with the.
Oh yeah.
Things
yeah,
on those are good too.
It's like pink and purple. Yeah. I remember those cookies. They have all sorts of. They have animal crackers too. They've got all. They're like a they're like Little Debbie, but for cookies. You know what I mean?
You've never had a mother's cookie? You never go. Just look them up. You got the internet in front of you. Mother's cookies. You'll see.
It's
them,
a California thing. I feel like
is it?
Though.
No.
I feel like they're a California thing.
I don't like them, so yeah. I like Miss Fields. Like the
Oh, Mrs. Fields is so good.
And I'm not a cookie person, but that's my go-to.
Yeah.
What about snickerdoodles? You like snickerdoodles?
Nah.
That's cinnamon and sugar.
Okay, hold on.
Now Girl Scout cookies, I would tear up. I would tear up some Girl Scout cookies. The snickerdoodles and the, what's the ones, the Samoas? The Samoans?
Samoas.
Samoas are there.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But it's the Thin Mints. If you're going to get Girl Scout.
Yeah.
Throw those in the freezer. Pour yourself a nice Chianti, and you're welcome.
Some Chianti and fava beans?
No. I don't know
about Silence of the Lambs.
But those frozen cookies with some Chianti, George, I'm telling you, brother.
I mean, wait a second.
Give it life.
You're eating cookies with Chianti with Italian red wine?
Absolutely.
That's a poll, George. That's a poll, George. Will you eat cookies with wine?
People don't? You don't? What do you eat your cookies with?
I can have like chocolate, like chocolate with red wine, but like cookies? I don't know. I don't think so.
So what do you eat your cookies? What do you drink with your cookies?
I mean, I don't know. Whatever water? I feel like drinking. Whatever I feel like. Sometimes water. Yeah. Sometimes,
oh God! Yeah. No, that's the worst thing ever. Drinking water with cookies is the most disrespectful thing in all of cuisine.
Disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
disrespectful. I love it.
I feel like we just glossed over Greg's love for mint chocolate, which I feel like is gross. Is that gross, LZ?
I mean, these lips won't touch any mint chocolate without a glass of Chianti.
Laura?
That's disgusting.
It's gross. Listen, let me ask you this.
Hold on.
Is it a cultural thing? Because my wife, who is also Anglo, like you, Greg, also likes mint chocolate. And nobody in my Hispanic family would touch mint chocolate.
I got a white guy near me. Hold on one second. I'm just going to ask him a question.
Go ask yeah, ask your significant other. Go ahead, ask him.
You don't eat Thin Mints? You don't eat Thin Mints?
No, ew.
Let's see. Where is he?
Ask Steve before we go to Dylan here.
All right. I'm looking for Steve now. Where is he? He's in the movie room? He's in the movie room. I'm going to ask my son who's black. Do you like mint chocolate chip cookies? His face just contorted.
Thank you. It is a cultural thing. I believe this. I believe this. We'll get word from Steve. Text Steve. Just text him, LZ, and see what his response is. All right. Dylan Hernandez, columnist of the LA Times. That is what you need to know. Food edition today. Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times, columnist of the LA Times, joins us here now. I want to talk some baseball with him here in just a second. But before we get to that, have you ever had mother's cookies before, Dylan?
Mother's cookies. I'm not sure if I've ever had the cookies. They had like baseball cards that came with them at some point that were kind of like collectible. And so I think at some point as a kid, I owned the baseball cards. I'm not sure I ever had the cookies, though.
Yeah. The package is like pink and purple or whatever. So, yeah. But I do believe they did have a baseball card with it, too. What is the go-to cookie in the Hernandez household?
Probably like just like chocolate cookies. We're pretty basic, you know. If we get adventurous, like chocolate chip.
Okay.
Definitely no thin mints. Right?
Thank you. Is that a cultural thing?
I believe it is. So I am half Salvadorian, half Japanese.
Yes.
Okay. And so I just don't like them. Now my Mexican wife definitely does not like them. So now my kids are half Mexican, a quarter Salvadorian, a quarter Japanese. They don't like them.
Right.
So I don't really know. Yeah, we're kind of outliers in terms of like not really fitting into a box here. So I'm not really sure. But I guess you can take from my wife that, you might be onto something there.
Yeah, I think so.
I have a report.
Yeah. Report from Steve? Go ahead.
Yes.
So he's white. Says, he likes it. We have three white people now. We have three white people who like it.
Chocolate chip cookies. His response was, "Of course," followed by, "Who doesn't?"
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah. This is a cultural thing. This is
clearly we're getting a divorce.
George. We are in a time of division between cultures, and we have now established another division here, and it is Thin Mints and mint chocolate cookies. Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times with us here. Dylan, what was your take, I guess, from what transpired with the Dodgers and Giants yesterday and the show of solidarity that they exhibited yesterday before the game?
Yeah, you know, I think it just really, a lot of this speaks to kind of, you know, and I'm going to have trouble just kind of summing this up like nice and tidily, but like, you know, honestly, when the Dodgers got Mookie Betts, you kind of thought, okay, great, they got a great player. You know, but honestly, he's kind of not your typical LA superstar, right? He's kind of on the quieter side, you know. LA seems to like, you know, kind of the bigger personalities, you know. When you think of the Dodgers and the more popular guys lately, you know, guys like Matt Kemp, Yasiel Puig, kind of very loud, boisterous type guys. And so you were kind of wondering how is this going to fit. But, you know, in the context of what everything, you know, that's kind of going on right now, it really does kind of feel right, like right guy at the right time in the right place. Because, you know, in a very short time, you know, I think he's had the kind of effect on the clubhouse, kind of similar in some ways to what Chase Utley had here several years back, where, you know, they just admire him as a person. Now, in Betts' case, you know, Utley, obviously, they got at the end of his career. But, you know, in Betts' case, obviously, he's in his prime right now. But, you know, I think with both guys, I think, you know, if there's certain issues, they would have followed, you know, Chase Utley to the end of the earth. And you get that feeling with Mookie Betts, too, you know. And I thought it was really kind of, you know, not to sound too corny or anything, but, yeah, it was kind of cool, the fact that, you know, Betts says, I'm not going to play, and that the whole team kind of rallies behind him. Because, you know, looking around baseball, obviously there was the thing with Dominic Smith yesterday, and I understand, right, that situation was a little different, that the game was about to start where, you know, he kneels. Obviously no one else on the team is kind of aware of this and does it. They go on and play the game, and he kind of breaks down crying, and, you know, in the post-game interview, and he gets asked, you know, what would it mean for your teammates to kind of follow you? And he kind of says, you know, I don't really care. It's not for them. And, you know, it really, I think, kind of highlighted to me, you know, just watching that, and what was so heartbreaking about it was that it looked like he felt like he was so alone there, you know. And I'm guessing he wasn't alone around baseball. You know, Matt Kemp, who's now with the Colorado Rockies, didn't play yesterday, but his team did, you know. And I've known, obviously, you know, just having been around Kemp a lot, you know, even though he is a guy that kind of has like a lot of swagger, he's a pretty sensitive guy, you know. And I'd be very kind of interested to kind of, you know, not that he would voice this publicly, but I'd be very kind of interested to hear his private thoughts on, you know, and how lonely that was for him, you know. So for the Dodgers, again, to kind of rally around this, like, one, right, this guy, and, you know, kind of, you know, I say make a, you know, pretty bold statement on what I think is a very important cause, I think was, you know, gave you a little tiny bit of hope, right? I mean, as much as, you know, we've been sitting here, you know, kind of talking about the same issue year after year, and you kind of get frustrated that there's not any progress being made. You know, for an institution like baseball, which is kind of overwhelmingly white, culturally white, you know, these clubhouses are white, for baseball to get to this point, I think it's kind of a step in the right direction.
Dylan, first of all, if I'd known you were going to be on the show, we wouldn't have been spending like an hour talking at some point in the middle of the day. So second of all, when you look at how this Dodgers team is constructed, and I know I'm asking you to do something you should never do, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Is this a team, as it's currently constructed, that's built to win multiple championships for the long haul, or is this a flash a la the Chicago Cubs, which had a lot of talent, but at the end of the day, looks as if it's only going to produce a chip?
Yeah, I think that this is still a team that's going to kind of contend, you know, right, going to be competitive in the long haul, just because, again, it's about the farm system, you know, and they have a lot of players coming up, right? I mean, they just called up, you know, K-Bert Ruiz, the catcher who homered in his first at bat. Well, you know what? They already have their next guy down there. I mean, he's 18 years old. He, you know, a lot of things could happen. Obviously, he could kind of be a bust, but he's supposed to be one of the best catching prospects in baseball. You know, and it does feel like that at multiple positions. They have multiple guys coming. You know, it seems like they're doing a really good job with the scouting. They're doing a really good job in terms of player development. And so from that standpoint, you know, because a lot of times, like with baseball rosters, what ends up happening, just the way the pay structure is, obviously, right, years 0 through 3 are really kind of important for teams to kind of maximize for a player, because at that at that level, you get to pay the player whatever you want. Now, as they go from years 4 to 6, now all of a sudden they're arbitration players. Okay, they're affordable, but their prices are kind of starting to go up. Now, if you want to retain a guy after year 6, now you're playing premium dollar, right? So Cody Bellinger's going to become very expensive after year 6. Same thing with Corey Seager. These guys are going to become very expensive. And so, you know, even if you keep one, you're really kind of relying on to fill out the other parts of your roster with again, the cheaper, younger guys. And I just kind of think that their player development system is it's a lot better than where the Cubs was, you know. And so just from that standpoint, yeah, I think, you know, you have a franchise building block in Mookie Betts. The guy does everything. The guy is tremendous. The guy is, from a cultural standpoint, he's the type of guy you want to build around. He's a lot like Clayton Kershaw in the sense that he kind of quietly goes about his business. He's a lead by example type of guy, and so he already kind of fits into the existing culture, but I think guys will also be able to feed off that. And I do think, yeah, that this is probably actually even more than, you know, as good as their chances are this year. I'm not really sure they kind of have the high-end pitching to win it this year. And, yeah, you know, I like their chances obviously more. The longer the period, the better I kind of feel about them actually.
Dylan Hernandez, columnist of the LA Times with us here. To that point, the trade deadline is 5 days away. What would you like to see them do?
I mean, I would like to see them get Gerrit Cole, but that's obviously not going to happen.
Right.
And that's, I think, the tricky part with this trade deadline, with the expanded playoffs. Everybody is in this at this point, right? And so, you know, I was looking just kind of at the stats in terms of like who's got the lowest ERA and stuff, and you think, oh, the Reds stink, you know, why isn't Trevor Bauer available? Well, it's because the Reds are only a couple games out, you know? And if the Reds get into the playoffs, keep in mind it's Trevor Bauer, Sonny Gray. I mean, that team could theoretically beat the Dodgers in a three-game first-round series. That team could theoretically go to the World Series, and I actually think that some fluky stuff like that will happen. So, you know, the market is going to be very, very limited. Whatever few sellers are out there, I'm guessing that the premium is going to be pretty high. And again, if the first round, it's a three-game series, like, how much are you willing to pay to rent a guy if it's going to be a rental type situation? I'm not really sure you're going to be willing to give up kind of that top prospect to get a player in return if you're just going to kind of have them and it might all come down to a three-game series.
Do you drink Chianti or any red wine with your cookies?
This was also a discussion we had.
Not with my cookie. I'm actually a pretty big wine drinker. I love Bordeaux.
Yeah.
I love Barolo. I kind of tend to lean a little more old world, but I every now and then I also like a good, Napa cab. Never with the cookie. I don't really do like the sweet stuff with the wine. And even when I have dessert wines like a Sauternes, I actually prefer to kind of have that with like real food as opposed to having, because I know like with dessert wines, a lot of times people like to have that with like chocolate or some kind of dessert. I actually prefer to have it with like real food.
Well, thank you, because I was being shamed here for not for being a wine person who didn't.
You're still going to be shamed. Dylan won't be on the show forever. As soon as he hangs up, I'm going right back at you. Do you drink water with your cookies?
Yes, I'm a water guy.
Thank you.
Because I'm not. I don't like regular milk. I can drink like chocolate milk. I know, like I do that. I know it's like I'm 5 years old, whatever. But I've never just had like milk. My kids are milk drinkers. I don't drink milk. Whenever I have cookies, yeah, for sure, it's water.
There you go. There it is. Dylan Hernandez, columnist at the LA Times, a gentleman and a scholar. Thank you for taking the time. You and your family stay safe and stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon. Despite LZ trying to ban you for not drinking wine with your cookies.
Well, I'm still perplexed by the water. I'm very perplexed by the water and cookie thing.
Yeah.
It's just very, very, very weird.
All right, Dylan. See you, man.
All right. See you guys.
Take care. There he is, Dylan Hernandez with us here. I think we're on to something, LZ. Now, Om Yang Masuk is going to join us at 6:30 because Doc Rivers has made some statements here that we're going to get to in the next segment. But also, people are chiming in on this cookie talk on our Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
They are firing away, and you can tweet us at LZ Granderson, at Sedano. But we'll take your calls, too, on this cookie thing. 877-710-ESPN. People say we're sleeping on Costco cookies. People say we're sleeping on grandma's cookies in the blue bag. There are more people. Alicia Del Valle is in on red wine and chocolate. Anything she says with ULZ?
Because she's wise. That is a wise one.
But
there.
I have a question because I hear Karen Kay's voice. And Karen Kay is a very important question before we get to the traffic. Do you like mint chocolate?
Oh, gosh, yes.
No, Karen!
Yes, I do.
We have decided that this is a white person thing because all the people who are not white, who are either Hispanic, who are Asian, half Asian like Dylan, we're going to find out from Ohm, LZ, all our white people in our lives, you included, my wife, LZ's significant other, Greg, all you guys like mint chocolate. I think we have found another division in our world, and it's going to be mint chocolate.
No, I love chocolate. Right now, I'm eating from Sprouts, dark chocolate covered peanuts. My husband hates dark chocolate.
No, but that's
good. I love dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate is so good.
Dark chocolate is so good.
Hershey's Kisses with almonds. He went to the store and we bought that. We're a chocolate family. We love chocolate.
But the mint
chocolate. Mint. I'll eat it. If it's those Andes mints, those are good.
One of the people that tweeted us said chocolate and toothpaste. Who wants that? And I agree.
Exactly. No. That's what mint chocolate tastes like. Karen,
chocolate and toothpaste.
I can't believe I thought you were going to be on our side. I said, if anyone's going to be on our side on this, it's going to be Karen.
No, but
and
I can't
you have
lie,
fallen in line listen, along the cultural lines.
Can I just say, do I go out and buy those Andy mints? No. But if I'm somewhere and those mints are laying around, if there's chocolate involved. You know what I don't like and my husband bought today? White chocolate.
I'm not a white chocolate person either.
I'm not a white chocolate person. I'm kind of with you. The dark or the milk chocolate.
Yeah. And by the way, I also don't like yogurt on my pretzels either. I don't need that. I'm good.
No, I don't do that either. They have those at Sprouts. I just went right by those.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I love the chocolate, though. I'll eat it. If it's there, I'll eat it. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
All and right, then you throw in some wine. We got a party.
So well,
we
know that we've gone. There you go. Right there.
We
you
know
go.
we've gone way too long that the music is played for the second time. Maybe the third.
Oh,
but who cares?
Let me do traffic.